going to open up the Word, and we are still open to the Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit. And I just feel this would be the time now to share with you what I believe the Lord has laid on my heart. Hallelujah. Father, we're always faced with a responsibility, and that is, it's how we hear. And Lord, we're asking that the Holy Spirit will indeed anoint our minds, our hearts, and that, Lord, what we hear, we mix faith with that which we hear. Lord, help us to understand, give us that wisdom and that knowledge. Because, Lord, we are so aware that in these last days we're being taught by revelation. Therefore, Lord, illumine our minds and hearts to receive that revelation now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want today to speak about the will of God. And the will of God is always probably the most challenging of subjects to speak on. Yet the will of God is sovereign right through the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation. And today we're calling our teaching, "The Will of God Will Be Done." The will of God will be done. Now, many of us have battled where two wills are present. We battle amongst ourselves because of our will, and we battle with God with his will. So very often our trials, our experiences, whatever we go through, is so often a battling of the will. Why is it that in human nature there is just something within us that wants our own way, even though we might know it's actually wrong? We know that, well, probably what I'm wanting, my own way, isn't probably absolutely right. But nevertheless, I still want my own way. And it's not so much of the fact that what you want, whether it might be right or it might be wrong, that is never really the issue. The issue is, I want my own way, and I want to control in this situation. Because wanting our own way, my will in other words, is always motivated by a form of control. I am going to have my own way in this situation. I am going to dominate. I am going to have the final say and not you. And so it goes on. And we find ourselves in these battles. It goes on in family life. It can go on in church life. Yes. It can go on at work. It can go on in the street, out shopping. It can be behind the steering wheel, driving. It just raises its ugly head in almost every situation. And yet today we're talking about the will of God will be done. Now, for the Christian, born again, filled with the Spirit, we soon learn from the Word of God that God is sovereign. And his will is always right.
We don't always want to acknowledge that. Even Christians at times don't always want to acknowledge that. But the fact is that God's will not only will be done, but God's will is right. Now, if we can hold on to that, that God's will is always right, it helps us. It helps us with his grace and mercy that works with us. God works with us like he does, with his patience, his long-suffering, his mercy, his grace. All these theological terms that we use are ultimately that God's will be done. But for God's will to be done in your life and my life, he has to have that long-suffering, that patience, that love, that grace, that mercy, because he's dealing with a rebellious people. He's dealing with a people where centuries of sin, rebellion, has done its ugly work in the soul of man. Not one of us is righteous. Not one of us has any good at all in us. We are all just nothing in that sense. I'll save you from the words that actually the Bible uses, but we know what the Bible says about sin. And yet God loves the sinner, the person. It is what is in us that has separated us from the love of God. It is that sin that has severed us from his presence. And that is why we know the wonderful news of the gospel, that God in flesh through Christ came to repair that. He came to unite and bring us back into a loving relationship with God. But not only that, he came to declare us righteous again. He has come to make us right again with God, to give us again that standing that Adam and Eve had before they fell. And the wonderful good news about the gospel is that when we come to Christ, it's as though we had never fallen. It is as though that sin had not even done what it had done in separating man from the presence of God. That is the wonderful, glorious news of the gospel. And that is why we proclaim it, and that is why we should never be ashamed of it. It is Christ who has come, who has declared us right before God. He has taken the penalty of our sin. He has taken all the responsibility of what sin has done, being that sin bearer. And he has declared and presented himself before the Father, and the Father can never condemn him because he is righteous and holy. Therefore, we have been pronounced clean. We have been pronounced not guilty. You see, I give this analogy because this is the nearest thing we can understand. Every one of us stands in that witness box before the judge, before the jury. And we know what the verdict is. Guilty. You know it. But Christ stands up in that court and says, remove that person, I will stand in his or her place. Now pronounce the sentence on me instead. That is putting it in terms we understand. That is why we get so excited. That is why we're here today. That is why we give him all the praise and all the glory, because he willingly stood in our place. He didn't have to do it, but he did. Praise God. That is why it is such a wonderful gospel, a wonderful news. And not only that, but God doesn't just declare us righteous. He continues to work with us, with what sin has done. We've all been brought out of sin. We have been damaged. by what sin has done, by what the world has done, by what corruption has done. And he says he embraces us and starts to heal us and clothe us and work with us. He works with what fear has done. He works with what pride has done. Lying has done. All these things that we were involved in. And just did it because that's the way the world goes. Praise God, he doesn't give up on us. That is why he is so great, so all-powerful, that his will be done. Now let's turn to some scriptures to really familiarize ourselves what we're talking about here. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36, we begin to see what the word of God speaks with regard to God's will being done in and through our lives. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. And he says here, we know this well, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." Now, what is the emphasis here? Now, of course, this is in the context of the just who are redeemed, we live by faith. That's what it's talking about here. But I've singled out this verse because it's speaking about the will of God to be done. He says, "For you have need of endurance, that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus." But to receive those promises, and this is what we forget sometimes in our teaching, the will of God must be done, accomplished, for you to receive the promises of God's word. Now, the will of God to be accomplished and done is absolutely diverse. It's massive. Because every one of us here, and everyone listening today all around the world that have come into the room, God's will is being accomplished and achieved and worked in each one of our life. That's what's so unique about this. Now, we all have different testimonies. We're all going through different trials. But the ultimate finish is that the will of God might be done. Now, of course, he never does it when we want him to. And that is our problem. We want God to do the will of God now. I'm hurting. I'm going through a trial. I don't know whether I can carry on in this. You know, please, you know, where are you? But we read there, don't we, that we have need of endurance. Now, we all know what endurance means. Athletes that are training need a huge amount of endurance because it takes time. Anything that we do, anything we're learning, takes time. If you start a job or you join a new company, you have to learn. You've got to learn the ropes. It takes time. And sometimes in that learning, you just need endurance. That endurance is because things go wrong. Or you just make a, you know, you just mess it up, foul it up. And so sometimes it's like, I often say in life, you take one step forward, only to find you take two back. But all of that builds endurance in us. Because God uses that in order for his will to be done. And the will of God is, as we see in this verse here, is that you may receive the promise. That is, the promises of God. God's will is that you would be blessed by his promises of healing, deliverance, salvation. This is why, brothers and sisters, we hold on to the promises of God's word. Even though it looks so negative at times, even though it looks laughable, you call yourself in faith, you call yourself Christians, look at you, what a joke. But what man doesn't see is the will of God is being accomplished and worked. And so often we look ridiculous while we're waiting for the will of God to be fulfilled and seen through his promises. They laugh at us. They jeer. But didn't they do that the same to Christ on the cross? Well, if you're the Son of God, come down from there. But boy, wasn't it a different story when God raised him from the third day? Eh? They did not like it. Even the high priest tried to pay them off, to tell lies. It was a completely different story. And it is. Do you know why? Because it's the will of God being accomplished and seen. It's the will of God raising us that banner against man's will and what the world is trying to do. And that's why he tries to fight against it. But the promise tells us here that you have need of endurance. This is why I'm always saying it to you, brothers and sisters. Stay in it. Don't run away. Take each day by faith. Leave tomorrow. Leave next week. Live today with God. And leave tomorrow if you meet it. That is the only way you're going to be able to walk this. Because otherwise, if you try to work it out, that is where the stress element comes in. And you'll always be disappointed. And it won't work out how you think. Never does. We get it all planned and all worked out for next week, next year. I know I'm listening, Lord. I have bought a diary for next year. But I mean, I don't put an awful lot in there. It's just because I do other things and sometimes I just have to put it down because there's an appointment at a certain time. You know what I mean. But I mean, I might not ever meet that appointment. The Lord may come for us tonight. We don't know. The point I'm making is, just walk this day by faith. To be honest with you, I know I say it over and over again, but there's enough in this day for me to contend with. Without having to start thinking about tomorrow or next week. Because that's in God's Father. It's my Heavenly Father's hand. That's the wonderful thing about being born again, being God's child, is that you can leave all of that with him and not be brought down like the world is in fear, in anxiety. This is why we're seeing sickness at the level that we are. So much of the sickness that they talk about today is stress related. Did you know the increase of cancer, so much of it is because of stress related? You know, they come up with all these different theories. But a lot of it is stress. Because medical science can't touch your heart. Only one can. Jesus. And it's births from the heart. It starts from the heart. Everything starts from here. You get this right, you'll start to get your mind right. Then your body starts to get right. And everything else gets right. And your temperament and your moods and everything. Everything gets right. Starts to become balanced when you get the inner heart of man right with God. That's why where he starts. But you see, we never want God to start in the heart. We want him to start with our appearance. With our looks. With our health. With our prosperity and our houses and our cars and our jobs. All of that says he'll bless, he'll do. But you've got to get it in the right place. It's got to start first in the heart. He starts in the inner man. That is the will of God. And you'll never change it. And you've got Christians today trying to change that principle. That God will bless you, God will give you this, God will give you that, all you need is faith. Just have faith and make sure you put enough in the collection. That's it. They don't say it like that, but that's a lot of it. That's a lot of it. The more you give financially, the more you're going to be healed. And it's a smokescreen. it's deceiving people. It's making merchandise of the gospel. No, the will of God is to start in the heart, in the inner man. Now, it's interesting, the verse before that, it says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. You could almost turn those around. You could put 36 first, and then 35 afterwards. It says, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Why? Because he says, don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Therefore, don't cast it away, because you need endurance, because it has a great reward. What is this reward? Again, we've just told you that you may receive the promise. The promises, the promise of God, his presence. What he's promised you, what he will give you. He's promised to heal you. He's promised to save your loved ones. He's promised to do whatever you are believing for. And he knows what we're believing for. And that's why he tells us the will of God, how it's to be accomplished. You see, one of the great reasons why we walk by faith is for God's will. That is one of the main reasons why we walk by faith and not by sight. It's simply for God's will to be done. Now, if he had seen another way fit for his will to be done, then he wouldn't have chosen us to walk by faith. We walk in some other way. But we walk by faith so that the will of God may be accomplished. As it says in verses 37 to 39 of the same chapter in Hebrews 10. Let's read this. He says here in verse 37 onwards, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, or his faithfulness. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So it says those that draw back, that don't endure, they go back to perdition. Trial. Testing. Judgment. Frightening. And there's no guarantee that they'll make it into the kingdom of God. It's simply the mercy of God there. So he says, yet a little while, he's coming, he's not going to tarry, and until then, we live by faith, or by his faithfulness. And then he gives the warnings of those who draw back. And rightly so. So that is why we walk by faith. We walk by faith for the will of God to be accomplished, for us to be ready at his coming. That is the will of God. The will of God is that we go up in the first rapture. That we are the first fruits. That is the will of God. That is ultimately our faith. That we make it into the kingdom of God. That we be saved, hallelujah. Well, how about the Lord's Prayer? We know all about that one. We've all of us been taught that at school. And we know it very well, but we do need to just remind ourselves of the wording of it. In Matthew 6, verse 10. Matthew 6, and verse 10. What does it say here? You know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, myriads of people pray that and have prayed that. And in that, in the context, it speaks about God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And many sort of say, ah yes, but that's God's will on the earth. That's his creation and everything, that, you know, and so on. Well, are we not part of his creation? Do we not walk on this earth? Was not this earth created for man? Therefore, God is speaking about his will being done through you and me, the church. Now, not all are quite so happy about that. And I think if it was put in that context, I'm not sure so many would be praying the Lord's Prayer. Or many pray it, but they don't really understand what they're praying. You're actually praying here for God's will. Lord, I want your will to be done in my life. Now, if you want that, he will do it. And sometimes it's painful. Change is not easy. Rome was not built in a day. We're not very good at change. But he will do it. And the way he does it, it just blows you away. It's just amazing. You would never work it out in a million years. That is why we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, Jesus fulfilled his Father's will. In Luke 22, don't turn to it, but I believe in verse 42, he spoke out, "Not my will, nevertheless, your will be done." That was Jesus preparing his heart for the will of his Father to be accomplished through him by going to the cross and redeeming mankind. Even Jesus submitted to the will of God. We see that so clearly in his earthly body. He says, "I do nothing except what the Father reveals." He was totally dependent in his flesh upon the Holy Spirit, his Father, doing it through him. This is why he could confidently say to them, "When you see me, you see the Father." But even he had a will, and he surrendered his will at that point in giving up his flesh to die. Now remember, at this point, God, who divested himself in flesh, took upon human flesh, God has never, at this point, ever died. Death is completely alien to God. He is life. And now, he is going to give up himself unto death. That is, in the flesh. Remember, God has two natures. He is divine and human. In his humanity, he's now surrendering himself up to death. Never, ever done before. That is profound. The degree of his humility is absolutely profound. And I say that because in his humanity, he has willingly surrendered himself over to human beings whom he created in the beginning. He is now willingly putting himself into their hands that they will crucify him. Now, if that doesn't speak of absolute humility, divesting oneself, then I don't know what is. And that is why God could so proudly raise him up. Because he was without blemish or spot. He was perfect, the perfect offering, the sin bearer for the world. You know, it's just profound. I still find, even after years walking with the Lord, I still can't always get my head around that one. But that's the wisdom and mind of God. There was the will of God being accomplished and wrought through Christ there. And he's doing exactly the same through you and I. That's why we too daily take up our cross, and it's like we daily go as lambs to the slaughter. For the will of God to be accomplished in and through us. That is why we have resurrection in us. We have both death and resurrection working daily in our lives. As we die to the self-life, so from the self-life then comes the raising up. The promises, the will of God. When the will of God is accomplished in your life, in what he's working through you, that is a sign from death to resurrection has taken place. And isn't it wonderful when the will of God finally is accomplished and you're through and that God is getting all the praise and all the glory? Just look at just how you feel. Just look at what's accomplished. It was worth it. And nobody says at that point, well, this cost me a lot of pain, you know. It was a lot of heartache. No, it's exactly what the Word of God says. It's when a mother then has that child, she no longer thinks any more of the labour and the trial that she went through in bringing forth that child into the world. It's full of joy and blessing. It's all gone. You've forgotten. Because it was worth it. That's what God's doing through us daily. Yes, those that sow in tears shall reap in joy, as Jesus said. But it goes. When the blessing is there, when God has done what he wants to do and his will is accomplished, it's nothing but joy and praise and rejoicing. It's like the past has forgotten. It's like it's erased. It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter anymore. You see? Because everything is based on forgiveness. You see, with God. Hallelujah. That's why I always say to do God's will in the natural is impossible. It's impossible in the flesh. It's no good saying, oh, I feel so spiritual today. I've had such a blessed time with God. And, you know, I'm going to get up. I'm going to do this today. I'm going to will. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to do everything for the Lord. And what do you do? Within 5 minutes, you fall flat on your face. The disciples were learning that one. Because it's motivated by feelings. Can't be. It's got to be motivated by faith. Whatever you feel. Because I'm always telling you that feelings are like the weather, like the wind. You never know where they are. They change from 1 second to the next. And that's how we are. We're up and down. But praise God, he's not. You see, that's the point. And so, how does God get us to yield over to his will when everything in our flesh says it's impossible? We don't have to work at being rebellious. We are. It's like naturally breathing. So how does God do it? How does he work this through us? Well, we know something very well, and we're always saying it, but I want us to look at it in Philippians 2. Chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. Actually, let's take it from verse 12 in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 onwards. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So with that principle working, he then says, do all things without complaining and disputings. In other words, don't make a fuss. Don't get on your high horse. Don't blow it out of proportion to what it really is. Why? Because God is working in me, in this situation, both to will and do for his good pleasure. There is the will of God, the sovereign will of God, being accomplished and worked through. It's amazing, isn't it? That gives us great comfort, that scripture, you know. Now, bearing that with that, let's look at also Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 21. Hebrews 13 and verse 21. Again, you know this well. That he may make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's really, again, what is being said back in Philippians 2 verse 13. And we find that principle running through scripture all the time, that he'd make you complete in every good work to do his will. So God is going to make you complete to do his will. Now listen to this very carefully. For God's will to be done through us, it means, and some won't like what I'm going to say here, but I believe, as the scriptures teach me, for God's will to be accomplished and worked through, it means that he has to work and bring me to that place of blessing where he makes me whole in mind, body, and spirit. How can God's will be accomplished if I am deceived? If I don't really know the word of God? Or I have embraced deception, poison? God's will can't be accomplished, can it? It can't be done through us. So God has, through salvation, and salvation, that Greek word sozo, which means wholeness in mind, body, and spirit, that is the gospel teaching. I believe on that basis, for God to accomplish his will, I have to believe that he will provide for me and make me whole in mind, body, and spirit. Otherwise, that can't be fully accomplished. Amen? Now, some will say amen, and some will say, well, this preacher is now a heretic. Because some are automatically going to say, well, are you saying then that some who love Jesus but are cripples or who are sick or whatever, then the will of God cannot be fully accomplished? I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying that whatever situation you find yourself in, and we can find ourselves in many different situations, the point is, do you believe what God says in his word over your situation? We have to. Whatever our situation, our faith has got to look beyond our circumstances. Our faith has got to look beyond ourselves or what I'm going through. And a lot of us are going through a lot of things. But when we're coming to the will of God, thy will be done, we've got to see what we have read here. For God's will to be accomplished, he's got to work it through us. And he will. He's promised in his word. I say it again. Therefore, laying aside... what were we looking at? In Hebrews 21, wasn't it? Yes. Therefore, make you complete in every good work to do his will. He has to provide and work through us in order for his will to be accomplished. Because I've already said, it's not in us. We can't keep God's will. And don't even try to in your own flesh. You'll fall flat on your face. But if we allow Christ who is in us, working through us, his will to be accomplished, then it can and will be done. To make us complete in every good work to do his will. Working in you what is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That is why salvation is a complete work. For God's will to be accomplished through us. We start to compromise on any of this, then God's will cannot be accomplished and fulfilled. And therefore, we are answerable then at the day of judgment that we did not preach the full gospel as revealed. And remember, it's still being unraveled. We're still learning as the bride's making herself ready. Do not limit God by your own thinking, your own mind, your own circumstances. He's outside of that. He is so big, there's no beginning, there's no end. God is uncreated eternal spirit. Always has been, always will be. All of this that we live in now, time, has been created for us. But he's outside of that. We need to start looking to the greatness and bigness of our God. We're so limited by our narrow mind and thinking. He's greater than that. That is why we need the Spirit. We need to be baptized in the Spirit. The Spirit who reveals all truth, you see. I haven't forgotten, we're still with this title, The Will of God Will Be Done. Did you know being chosen and adopted is God's will being accomplished and worked through us? Unless we are called, God's will never be done. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. As I bring this to a close now. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 7 to 11. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. And so it goes on in verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. All of that is about his will. He's not interested in what we think. It's his will. And he even has to call us from the foundation of the world in which to start to reveal his purpose, his will. Otherwise we don't know it. And that's why you have been adopted, sealed by the Spirit. For the will of God to be accomplished. Why has God done this and is doing this? So that the world will see in the last days, when God is raised up finally and he is seen and the powers of darkness are put down, they will see God's will being done. And all humanity will bow their knee because they see that he is the true sovereign God. His will being accomplished and done. This is why we need teaching on this, brothers and sisters, because God's working his will in you, in me, in this church, in everything. What we're praying for, what we're believing for our families, for our loved ones, for the future, everything, we are praying the will of God to be done. And that is why it is so powerful when you pray in tongues, in the Spirit, because the Spirit is communicating with the Holy Spirit, and it's the perfect will of God being prayed through. We don't know the will of God. There's many theologians, because they think they know the word, they can recite scripture, that gives them a good prayer life. No, it doesn't. Unless we have the Holy Spirit to illumine our minds to the revelation of God's word, we don't know it. We simply know it intellectually. And even the Holy Spirit has to take our praying, to pray the perfect will of God. And very often when you're praying in tongues, you start to become burdened, or you start to become aware of what you're praying about, or for that person. And then the Holy Spirit will keep you with it, sometimes for days, or even weeks, or months. Because you're getting insight to how God's praying through you, through Christ, the mediator, the intercessor. Remember, when you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying in tongues, that is Christ the intercessor praying through you, through the Holy Spirit. Because those languages that come out are undefiled. They are pure before God. It is bypassing your mind. It is the Spirit within you praying, interceding, supplicating, groaning, with those unutterable sounds that is communicating with the great intercessor Christ, who now sits at the right hand of the Father. That is why it's so powerful, and that's why the devil tries to stop it. There's so many Christians are hung up in praying in tongues, speaking in tongues. How the devil has used it to deceive. They're hung up. There were never these problems in the early church and at Pentecost. They spoke in tongues, they prayed in the Spirit, and they did it with great rejoicing and in unity and oneness. That's why they turned the world upside down like they did. Because the book of Acts is the Acts of the Holy Spirit in operation. All we've got today that we can see for at the moment is the acts of man's hands fouling it all up. But that's changing, brothers and sisters, as God's restoring the church back now to its apostolic faith. That's why we're baptized with the Spirit. It's no mistake. Hallelujah. So God, through the Holy Spirit, is accomplishing his will, which he has purposed, by calling and choosing us. And that's why trials, what we go through, they work out the will of God in us. Your trials, as hard as they are, as painful as they are actually working the will of God through you, through this. Finally, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, to finish off. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. That's what we have been talking about right through this whole teaching today. Don't think it strange. It is strange in that sense, but don't think it's strange. Why? Because it is God's glory being revealed through this situation, and that you will receive the blessing, the promises, and you will do it with exceeding joy. It will come. Even though it tarries, it will come. What you're believing for, standing for, it will come. Because God has promised, and he is not a liar. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, again today we thank you. We thank you for speaking life to us, helping us and showing us that we still walk by faith and not by sight. And that, Lord, you're working to accomplish your will through all of us. Whatever we're going through, however bad it looks, your will is being accomplished and worked. Help us, Lord, not to fight against your will, but by your grace and mercy, help us just to yield over, to stop fighting against you. That's where we're our own worst enemy. Who can fight against God? It's impossible. But Lord, as we yield over to you, then that peace is there. The grace is there. And we simply just wait and we watch your mighty hand at work being accomplished, so that you get all the glory and all the praise. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for being with us. Thank you for speaking to us, encouraging us. I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep each one of us, and that our faith will fail not. Our brothers and sisters who have joined us today from around the world, be with them. Keep them. Let the joy of the Lord be their strength. And Father, we thank you again for your presence today, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
And Jesus is the one.